great to be with you today and to be in Kansas City. We live in Springfield, have lived there for the last 14 years serving our mission. And it's a joy to be with the newbies. They're longtime friends. We were just talking about it this morning, back in 1979. Anybody alive in 79? Yeah, a few of you. Back in 1979 in Baltimore, we were at a general council, a meeting of our pastors and lay delegates from all over the United States. And for some reason, we were out on the street, and this van came by with one of our friends or one of their friends, and all of a sudden, we were all jumping in the back of the van and going out to eat, and that began a relationship with the newbies back in 1979. We're so thankful to be with you again, and we love them, and we're glad they're your pastors, and thankful to the Lord what he's doing here in Kansas City. How many have one of these? Oh, come on, admit it. Put up the hand. There are 5.6 billion phones in the world. There are 7 billion people. By the year 2015, there will be 10 billion phones in the world. That will exceed the population of the planet by probably 1.5 million, almost 2 million people. We have a fascination with mobile phones and communication. The fact of the matter is that a small percentage of these are smartphones. How many have a smartphone? How many have a dumb phone? I mean, who wants to admit, you know what I'm saying? We live in an incredibly changing world, and technology is really driving this change in our world. In fact, statistics tell us that this year, in the year 2012, more knowledge will be produced in these 365 days of 2012 than in the previous 5,000 years. If you are studying in a technological field, the fact of the matter is that the way that we're looking at education and the way we're looking at research and invention, every 2 years, technology doubles. So if you start off as a freshman in a technical field, by the time you're a junior, you have to start refreshing and learning because there's so much new stuff that is happening. This is the kind of world we live in. It's an ever-changing world. It's a very fast-paced world. In fact, sometimes people have said we are living in a period of an accelerated history. Things are just moving so quickly that it's just tough to keep up, especially when you get over, well, when you get my age anyhow. It's just tough to keep up, to figure out what's going on. The fact is that the future, which used to be kind of a distant thing, is not so distant anymore. I like what Abraham said. Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "I'm glad the future comes one day at a time." And I like what this person said. He said, "There are three ways to look at the future. The first way is you look at the future and say, what's going to happen? The second way is you look at the future and say, let's make it happen. And the third way is, what happened?" I think as a church, as a body of Christ that is gathered together here in this place this morning, I don't think we want to be the first and third. I think we want to be the one in the middle where we'd say, let's make it happen. Let's make a difference in the world. Let's not just say what's happening or what happened, but let's be proactive, let's be positive, let's be an influence on the world and say, let's make something happen. Anybody with me on that? Amen. Yeah, about four of you. Okay. Our AGWM mission statement, Assemblies of God World Missions mission statement, is that Christ will be proclaimed and his church will be established in all nations through the power of the Spirit. We have a passionate understanding of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We believe that this gospel that has so affected and changed us, that has made a difference in our lives, that has made a difference in my life, is a gospel that should be shared with everyone, that everyone has and should have the opportunity to hear what Jesus did on the earth, on the cross, and leaving an empty tomb, and being in heaven, and coming back to earth. That is a passion that overwhelms us. Our mission is to is to reach the lost, to with the message of Christ, to plant churches, to train believers, and to touch the poor and suffering. It's a fourfold mission. Looking at the future as we kind of are heading that way, we believe that these four active verbs are very, very important for us. Reaching is just sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, sending out missionaries. In fact, as Pastor had mentioned, we oversee an organization that sends out 2,699 missionaries in 252 countries, territories, and provinces of the world. Now, that's totally amazing, considering that in 1914 that there were 300 people that gathered just south of here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They were kicked out of their churches. They were trying to find their way. They formed a little organization, 300 people, called the Assemblies of God. 98 years later, with the blessing of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this little group of people has turned into 65 million plus around the world. If you're doing statistics, that's just about 1% of the world's population, about 10% of all the charismatics and Pentecostals in the world. So as we look to the future, we have to ask ourselves, what is our involvement? Am I making it happen, or am I asking what happened, or am I asking what's going to happen? Where am I, and where are we as a congregation, and where is you a congregation? And in this future, and what we look at into that horizon that is out there. As we look to the future, we need to consider the following, that we of European heritage, as the London Times said in the year 2000, and a big headlines on their newspaper, Europeans are a dying species. 32% of the population of the world in 1900 was above the equator. In the year 1970, it was 25%. By the year 2050, if the Lord tarries, it'll be less than 10%. So when we look at people of European descent, people of the Northern Hemisphere, more or less, we are dinosaurs. So what does that tell us? What's one of the things that it states to us? What about our mission? Even as Pastor said, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured at the beginning of the 20th century, and it came upon so many people in the United States, and this passion across denominations, as the Holy Spirit was outpoured, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, what does that mean for the future? What does that mean in sharing the gospel? What does that mean in being a witness? What does it mean? Well, it means that God is still on the throne. He's the God of history, and he's doing something about it. You see, God is raising up a church in the Southern Hemisphere that is a very, very powerful, powerful church. The fact of the matter is, if you were to look at statistics, in 1900, 80% of all the Christians in the world lived above the equator. In the year 2000, 55% of all the Christians in the world lived above the equator. And in the year 2015, 45%. So you can see that decline, but you can also see what God is doing in the Southern Hemisphere, and that he's raising up a very, very powerful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Africa, 1 billion people live on that continent. There are 182 million evangelicals, and about 20% of them are Pentecostals, as this Pentecostal outpouring continues to be given here, even in the 21st century. So as the World Assemblies of God Fellowship, as a church in this network, in this fellowship of believers, of Pentecostals around the world, we can ask ourselves this question: what about the future? What is our role in it? What is God calling us to do? And I'm so thankful that you take a day out of your year to say, let's kind of tune up and understand what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in the area of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles. Or you can take your Bible. Oh, by the way, can I make just a minor announcement? If you have a smartphone, you have a Nokia or an iPad or an iPhone, and you would like to go to to your app store, go to AGWM on your app store, AGWM, and you can get a free application. And there on this application, you can it has four columns. One is Explore, and you can look at different continents of the world and see what's going on in those different continents of the world. There's Read. There's magazine articles that you can read and keep up with stories and missionary stories. There's Watch. There's videos on there. You can see what different kind of videos are on there. And then there's Pray. All of our missionaries will be listed on those so that you can pray for our different missionaries around the world. That go to your app store. It's for a Nokia. It's for iPhone, for iPad, and it's free, AGWM, and you can go there and get that. Let me say, as we look to the future and understand what God is calling us to, I believe we need to understand three things. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 in your Bibles. You shall be my witnesses. Jesus is talking in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When we look at the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 20th century, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. Follow this timeline with me. In 1900, less than 0.1% of all the Christians in the world were Pentecostal charismatic. You go ahead 20 years into year 1920, about 1% of all the Christians in the world, Pentecostal charismatic. To the year 1940, 2%. To the year 1960, around 5%. Then there was a dramatic change. How many remember the 60s? I had a friend that said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. Let that one sink in. And you younger people, ask your parents. In 1960, there was a dramatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit across denominational lines, like in the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopal Church, the Catholic Church. In fact, Notre Dame played last night. Notre Dame Stadium in the 60s was filled to 60 to 70 to 80,000 Pentecostal, charismatic Catholic people as the Holy Spirit was outpoured in the world. So you get to 1980, 12% of all the Christians in the world were Pentecostal charismatic. And then you jump another 20 years because in the 80s there was this incredible outpouring of the Spirit upon the evangelical world. And all of a sudden, near 2000, 27.7% of all the Christians in the world are Pentecostal charismatic, all in the breadth of 98 years. God is doing something absolutely amazing. We are in a wave of a tsunami of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we don't even know it. God is doing something absolutely amazing in our time. The Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. Why do you say that? Acts 1 verifies it biblically. When you look anecdotally, when you look at the history, even of these last 90 years, you have to say that God is doing something amazing. To be in 252 countries and provinces and territories is absolutely unprecedented in human history. And it's because God, the Holy Spirit, is a strategic missionary spirit, and he wants to touch our hearts and our lives today. He doesn't only want to touch our pocketbooks and our wallets. He wants to touch our hearts. He wants to touch our minds. He wants to touch our souls and our spirit. Because you see, the message that we have, the gospel that has changed our life, can change the lives of so many people that are lost in their sin, broken and depressed, hurting, crying out to God. We have a message that can give them life, and that message is that Jesus arose from the dead. And that Holy Spirit just kind of drives us and pushes us and leads us and guides us. Because the 20th century, although the bloodiest century in human recorded history, two world wars, all of the conflicts around the world, is still the century of the Holy Spirit, because Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And we are a recipient of that grace. I say, thank God. Because you see, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was broken and hurt and beaten, depressed and destroyed. But Jesus came into my life and made a difference. And then he baptized me in the Holy Ghost so that I could be his witness. And I think the Lord is calling us as the missionary spirit to have that missionary vision, that missionary passion, that missionary outlook into the future. We just don't want to say, hey, what happened? We want to say, let's make it happen. This is being recorded, right, Pastor? Yeah, okay. I have to be careful about naming countries and people when things are recorded. Let me Let me say that in an area of the former Soviet Union, there is a people group that have been without the gospel. I don't think the gospel has ever been really penetrated this particular people group. They're of the Islamic faith. They were ostracized by the Soviet government. They were absolutely pushed out as refugees, put in a peninsula, isolated there, and kind of a forgotten people. Somehow this missionary spirit, and that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, he can speak to our hearts and illuminate us and enlighten us. This Holy Spirit got to talking to a group of our missionaries and said, you know, what about this people? What about these people that have never heard the gospel? Do you know that there are between 6 and 7,000 people groups in the world that have never heard the gospel? I mean, it's so hard for us to understand. You turn on your TV, you turn on your radio, you go to a Bible bookstore, you come to church, you pass 20 churches to get to this church. And there are people in the world that don't even have one church within even driving distance of them, that don't have a church ever to have the opportunity to hear this life-transforming message that you've accepted, that Jesus says, and if you're here and you haven't accepted that, what a great opportunity to be here today. Yes. And to hear that Jesus can make a difference in your life. I'm telling you, he makes a difference in your life. So these missionaries got together and said, what are we going to do? We need to go. You see, because Romans chapter 10 talks about that how can they hear unless they're sent? People are sent. And you know, in your packet this morning, you received a little faith promise card. And that famous faith promise card is kind of like an indicator to your missions committee, to your pastor, to your board, of what you believe God is talking to you about in making the future happen, about making a positive, proactive difference in the lives of people that are broken and hurting and need help. And so, boy, keep that in the back of your mind as we continue to share. So this group of people get together and say, what can we do? And so they said, we have to go. So they had to be sent. And churches like yourself said, we'll get behind you. We'll help you and we'll send you. We'll pray for you. We'll give so that you can go and you can establish the Church of Jesus Christ in this area where the church does not exist. So, How do you get started in a place where the church doesn't exist? How do you make contact? How do you build a bridge with people? You know, we experience that even here in the States. And you know, when your neighbor you see your neighbor and you say how, and you're thinking to yourself, how can I share the gospel with that person? What is the common platform? What is the bridge that I can use to create a relationship so that we can talk about spiritual things? That's what they were going through in their heart and mind and trying to think of. How many know that we don't take Jesus anywhere, that Jesus is everywhere? You know, we sing the old Negro spiritual, he's got the whole world in his hands. Believe me, he's got the whole world in his hands, even in unreached people groups. So as they prepare to go in, here's the backstory of what's going on. There is this woman who is in the hospital. She's in this country amongst this unreached people group. She is in a coma and dying. We're not quite sure on the story if she was just in a coma and dying or that she had already died. Makes no real big difference. But her husband came in, got the news from the medical staff, said, okay. And as the custom is in that particular country, he goes out, collects money for the funeral. He gets this money for the funeral from his family and friends. He comes back into the room, and there his wife is standing at the end of the bed in her gown, pulling out intravenous tubes. And he goes, what's going on? She says, well, the doctor came in and said I could go home. Now, he had left her in this coma, dying or dead, collecting this money. And so he runs out to the medical staff, to the nurse's station, and said, hey, what's going on? And they run in there and say, what are you doing? They said, well, she says, I'm going home. She says, you can't go home. You're dying. And she says, hey, the doctor came in and said I can go home. I'm putting my clothes on. I'm going home. So she gets out into the hallway. Now, in this Islamic society, Many of the hospitals are Orthodox, Christian Orthodox hospitals. And as she's walking down the hall of this hospital, she sees a little picture on the wall, and it's Jesus knocking at a door. She looks at it and says, "Hey, there's my doctor." So they're going, "That's not a doctor." She goes, "That's the one that was in my room, told me get up and go home." She goes home. She's there. She still has a tube coming out of her stomach. She calls her neighbor and says, "Hey, can you come over and help me?" She comes over. The neighbor comes over and says, "What do you want?" She says, "Hey, I got this tube. Can you take it out and sew me up?" And the lady says, "You need to go to the hospital." The lady who has the tube in her says, "You go to the hospital, you could die. You take care of it." So she takes care of it. Now, 5 years earlier, she bore a little son that had issues that could not walk. And so for 5 years, this little boy has been crawling around the house. As she's going up to her bedroom, she starts praying, "Dr. Jesus, would you please touch my little boy? Would you please touch my little boy so he could walk?" She goes to bed. In the middle of the night, the husband gets up, because up and down the steps, he hears this stuff going on. There's a little son running up and down the steps. Our missionary team connects with this family in this unreached people, thousands and thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, never been a church, never been a witness. They connect with these people. The teaching goes on, the sharing, the discipleship, the passion for the lost. They have 10 house churches now in that unreached people group where they didn't even have one several years ago. That is a missionary spirit. Our God is a God that sends the Holy Ghost, that is a missionary spirit. I have to look at us as the Assemblies of God, and honestly, 65 plus million people. You know, we have 358,000 churches in our network. Now you say, what does that mean, 358,000? It's a good question. How many McDonald's are there in the world? Don't Google. Just a guess. A billion. You got stock in McDonald's? Yeah, you wish. Actually, there's around 38,000 McDonald's in the world. You say, that can't be. There's at least 5,000 in Kansas City. There are about 38,000 McDonald's in the world. When you look at World Assemblies of God Fellowship churches of 358,000 churches, it absolutely dwarfs McDonald's. That's what God has done in these 98 years. 1,975 training institutions scattered around the world, from a discipleship group underneath a tree to a sophisticated campus in Belgium giving PhDs of Pentecostal persuasion. 1,975 of those. Hey, can you guys count to 16? Yeah, I've got a real responsive crowd here. Okay, let's count to 16 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Every 16 seconds in the World Assemblies of God Fellowship Network, a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Every 16 seconds. Every 42 minutes. Think of this. While we've been in church, every 42 minutes, a church is started somewhere in the world, in the World Assemblies of God Network. 42 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month. Every 45 minutes, a minister is trained. Brothers and sisters, you're part of a network. You're part of a future that is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. But I can't help but think of what our predecessor, Lauren Triplett, said. He said, "You don't measure yourself by your success. You measure yourself against the unfinished task." You measure yourself against the unfinished task. And that's why we're here today, friends. We're not looking at what we've done. We thank God for what we've done. But when we look into the future, we're saying, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to make it happen? And the fact of the matter is, we talked about 6,000 to 7,000 unreached people groups. What does that mean? That's 1.5 billion Muslims. That's 1 billion Hindus. That's 700 million Buddhists. That is millions and millions of secularists and animists. 86% of those people, those billions, 86% of them have never met a Bible-believing, charismatic, Pentecostal, evangelical believer. Never met him. Never met her. Never had access to get on their smartphone and access a gospel track or a video. These people need to hear that Jesus can save them from their sins. These people need a hope beyond the hopelessness of the life that they're living in. And what are we doing here today? We're making it happen in the future. We're making it happen in the future by you being here, by praying, by giving, by going. You take missions trips or you give in your faith promise and you trust the Lord and say, God, I don't have the account, I don't have the checking account or the savings account to increase this faith promise that I made or make a new one. But we're not asking for that. We're just asking you to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You supply this. If you give it to me, I'll give it away. It's that kind of faith promise that we're talking about. And when you do that, what happens? We send teams out like that one I described to you, that somehow God is there, God goes before, God makes a way, but we need people on the ground, we need our missionaries on the ground to be able to bring in the harvest, to disciple believers, to get them so that they can send out others as well. Let me close. Anybody believe that I'm going to close? Closing my iPad. I didn't need it anyhow. Let me close with this, just something that happened in the last 2 weeks to me, just absolutely amazing, to show what kind of investment people 20 years ago made. They invested in the future 20 years ago. And let me show you what happened in these last 20 years. In 1992, in Russia, in Moscow, the wall had just come down. Freedom had just come. We sent in our first missionary. One of the things that he saw the need of very quickly is to establish a Bible school. And so what they did is they established Moscow Theological Institute. That was a huge step of faith. We raised funds. People like yourselves and churches said, hey, we'll give to get a building. We got a building together. It's an old kindergarten that we renovated. We started opening classes. The president, the academic dean, the administration, all of the faculty were Assemblies of God missionaries because there was just nobody there. There was nobody there. In Russia, that vast country, 11 time zones, they had 61 churches in 1992. Moscow Theological Institute wanted to train people, train church planters to go and to plant the Church of Jesus Christ across Russia. They needed in 1992 a budget of $4,500. $4,500 a month. We supplied Assemblies of God, churches like you said, hey, we'll jump in. They haven't had a chance. We're going to make a difference in the world. We'll make it happen. 20 years later, I'm just there 2 weeks ago at their 20th celebration. Let's go down the list. The president is a Russian. The academic dean is a Russian. The faculty are Russians. American missionaries just supplement on occasion. Their budget is $20,000 a month. The United States Assemblies of God gives only $1,000 a month. In 1992, there were 61 churches in Russia. Now there are 2,000 churches in Russia. Brothers and sisters, the investment of making the future happen creates incredible dividends for the kingdom of God. Thank you for an open heart. Thank you for saying to the Lord this morning, Father, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And maybe God is talking to your heart about going. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart about going into a missionary service or full-time service or even about on your job being just the witness that he wants you to be. Please, please open your heart and let God come in and do something special on this day in the area, because the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. And the task that we have is an unfinished task. Let's make the future happen. Let's plant and invest in the kingdom of God and see people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the past history and what you've done through them and touching different areas of the world. And Father, as we look to the future, we do want to make it happen, Lord. We want to be a part of that end time harvest. We want to be a part of that tsunami of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Father God, do in our hearts, in our lives, the work that you would be pleased with today. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.